So let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Gracious Lord, you are awesome. You are our refuge and our strength, and for that we give you praise. So Father, as folks have given up this time to come into your house to worship, Lord, I just ask that you'd use me to be an instrument for the Holy Spirit to share this story from the Gospels, the story of Jesus, as we strive to really become people of God. Because we need your help, Lord. We can't do it on our own. But with your help, with your strength, man, we can be the people that we want to be. We can have the families and be the church that you want us to be. Yeah, so help us, Lord Jesus, as we focus on you. In your name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Grace. Well, Pastor Joe is not with us this morning, obviously. He told you his brother died, and he had to go back for the funeral, and they did that yesterday. So they're traveling back, so you can be praying for him and his family. But when he asked me if I would share this morning, I was thinking through the things that impressed me the most. And as you know, we had kids camp Sunday just a few weeks ago. And one of the most powerful images from that camp is our youth, the S team, working with those kids and being leaders, leaders for Christ. And it was just powerful to see youth that age really being used by God. And so I got to thinking about this whole idea of leadership and how that impacts us as a church, not just the youth, but as a church, young and old. So I'd just like you to raise your hand if applicable. How many of you want to be a leader or like to be a leader? Raise your hand. Anyone? Okay. Not too bad. The first service, there's hardly any. Middle service, not too bad. This is pretty good. This is where the leaders come, all right? Amen. But some of you are like, that's not me. I don't want a mantle. I don't like the responsibility. Don't look to me for leadership, please. But it's important to realize that God calls us to be leaders, and we're going to talk a little bit about that more in a bit. But when I talk about successful leaders, character traits, what are the things that jump out in your mind? What would you say is a successful trait or a trait of a successful leader? Anyone?
Servant.
Servant? Servant who's serving. What else? Compassion. That's important for a successful leader.
Being prepared.
That's important, right? Humility? Humility is very important, yes. Integrity, that's a big one.
Honesty,
decisive. Man, you guys, you are the leaders, man. You got it down. What's that?
Accountable.
Ah, that's a very important one. We all need to be accountable. So when you think of a famous leader, or not famous, successful leader, what name or what face comes into your mind?
Lewis and Clark,
okay? They were had the lead a long ways. And women, Sacagawea, right? but yeah, that's going into the great unknown, very, very scary times. Who else comes to your mind for a successful leader?
Abraham Lincoln.
Which one?
Powell.
Colin Powell? Oh, Paul, the Apostle Paul. Thank you.
Jesus.
Jesus. Was he a successful leader? Yeah, I think he was. Even by the world standard, even though a lot of the world doesn't like him, they don't want people to follow him, he was a very successful leader. And we're going to look at why that is, and hopefully we can glean from his example. So as I was doing some research on this, there was a book written called Leadership, Magic, Myth, or Method by J.W. McLean and William Weitzel. And these are 5 points that they had. And the first four come out from, you can apply those to any leadership training. And some of you have been through a lot. You hear the same thing over and over. But the fifth one is what makes Jesus unique. So leadership, successful leadership defined, you need a person, right? Can't have a leader without a person. Who's involved in a process. Okay, there's a process there of influencing and developing a group of people. Influencing or developing. In order to accomplish a purpose. They have a goal, they have a vision, and they're trying to get people rallied around to do that. So, unfortunately, successful leaders can be evil people, right?
Yeah,
some of our most successful leaders in the world have been evil because they've led to so many people being slaughtered, and we have to be on guard for those kind of folks. But look at this fifth point. By means of supernatural power. That was Jesus, wasn't it? And actually, come to think of it, maybe some of those evil people were working off of some supernatural power too. The power of Satan. When you look at, you wonder, how can somebody gather such a crowd to do evil things? Well, there's demonic powers out there. And if you want proof that Satan exists, just look at what some people can do through evil leadership. But Jesus had supernatural power. That's what made him so unique in all the world. It changed the world, and is changing the world to this day. So as we're called to be leaders, you know, the neat thing about that is being Christian leaders, do we have access to that supernatural power? We do. It's the Holy Spirit. That's what makes church so unique. I'm not just talking about our church or this building, but the body of Christ, why they're able to overcome such adversity, why they're able to transform cultures and the world, it's because of the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit. And it's a beautiful thing, and we get to be part of it. We're part of Team Jesus. But this is the successful leadership of Christ in order to accomplish a purpose. So why is this important for us this morning? And some of you are like, oh, Scott, I don't want to be a leader, never wanted to, don't sign me up. If there's somebody younger in this church than you are, guess what? You're a leader. Because younger people look up to older people, don't they? So whether you're at work and someone says, we need you to move up, be a manager, you're obviously a leader. Or if you have children, whether you want to be a leader or not, guess what? You're a leader. Because those little ones, they look and they see what you do, they see what you say, and they imitate you. And a lot of folks are like, I don't want to be a leader. You either step up to the plate and are a good leader, or you're not. So we all need help in this whole idea of how to become a good leader. So we're going to look at this illustration for leadership. Tell me, is this a good leader? How's she doing? She's got them. It's a close formation. They're a tight formation. All her ducks in a row, right? And they're being safe and going along. But sometimes when we're leaders, if we're not careful, we may see pitfalls or things that can get us or others in trouble and not be aware of it. So, uh-oh. So Mama Duck doesn't have a problem with that. She's got those big old feet. But those ducklings, she wasn't really thinking about that. And what happens when people follow you into dangerous places? Pretty sad. Chris is like, I can't believe you put those pictures up there. One little guy, look at that little guy. Man, he's tough. He was able to hop across that grate. Now, this story does have a good ending. Someone was there to take off the grate and rescue the little ducks. But there you go. That was the happy ending. But mama ducks are leaders. And powerful leaders, too. This just came to me. I was up in the Olympic rainforest one time by the side of a stream, and a mama duck was with her little ducklings in the water, and all of a sudden a bald eagle came swooping in. Bald eagle, and it was on this week on YouTube, they showed a bald eagle taking out an osprey chick. That was pretty interesting. But anyway, I was like, oh my gosh, bald eagle. Guess what happened? Guess what that mama duck did? She rose up out of the water, and she met that bald eagle in flight, bam, and fought it off. I was like, man, that's one cool duck. So, and moms, you don't mess with your little ones, right? Right. So we have all these illustrations of leadership in the world around us. But where can we get our best illustrations for leadership? And that's from Jesus himself. So we're going to be looking at the Gospel of John, John chapter 1, verses 35 to 42. And this is just a casual interaction between Jesus and a couple of his followers. Actually, they're the followers of John the Baptist. And we're going to see how Jesus encountered them and how it transformed their life. And from this example, we're going to see some practical ways for us to be leaders with our families, at work. So join with me as we read, and if you want to look up, we also have them up here on the screen. So to set this up, John the Baptist had come, and they thought he was the Christ, and he says, no, I'm not the Christ. The Christ is coming. And then when Jesus came, he pointed folks to Jesus. He baptized Jesus. And that's where our story picks up. This is where we're at immediately following that. So John chapter 1, starting with verse 35. The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, look, the Lamb of God. When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, what do you want? They said, Rabbi, which means teacher, where are you staying? Come, he replied, and you will see. So they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with him. It was about 4 in the afternoon. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, we have found the Messiah, that is the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, you are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas, which when translated is Peter. So at first reading, you're thinking, okay, Jesus with these guys, it's kind of interesting exchange. Well, how does this apply to me as striving to be a godly leader? Well, the first thing that I see exemplified by Jesus is that we are to be approachable, because Jesus was approachable, okay? So right now, we're going to do a little experiment, okay? Now, if you're new to our church or you're kind of shy, I'm sorry for this little exercise, but it's fun if you take part in it. I want everybody who can to stand up. If you can't stand up, that's fine, but everyone who can, stand up. Okay, and here's my assignment for you. I want you to find somebody not in your family, maybe someone who's a total stranger, and I want you to do one of two things. I want you to walk up to them, reach out your hand, and say, good morning, glad to see you. Here's the catch now. When you do that, I want you to pretend that they're your worst evil enemy from years gone by, somebody that you have just avoided, and there they are. So shake their hand and say, good morning, glad to see you, but treat them, act towards them like they're that person, okay? Okay, go try it. One person, not your family. Good morning, glad to see you. Morning, glad to see you. Good morning, glad to see you. Good morning, glad to see you. Hey, Jody, no hugging. Jody, no hugging. Okay. For those folks, I see some of you just can't be mean, right? Jody's out there hugging people. He'd hug his enemy. Good morning, nice to see you. Is that awkward to anybody?
Yes, totally, because you said...
It's awkward, you know... Oh, okay, I'm going to change it up now. Sorry if I was wrong. Go greet someone else. Shake their hand and say, good morning, nice to meet you. And pretend that it's your long-lost friend you haven't seen in years and you love them to death, okay? Go do that with somebody else new. Jody! Oh! Man, I missed you! Woo! Hey, good to see you! Oh! Man, I've been waiting so long.
Doing this.
Hey, Jerry!
Now this part is hard.
Oh! Good hug. There you go. There you go. And it really is good to see you.
See you too.
And you, Brother Bill. Oh, man, you guys had, okay, you can take a seat, you can go back to your seat, take a seat, man, you can have a seat, go ahead, Man, you guys are a lively bunch, aren't you? Jeepers, by the early service, I think they hadn't got the coffee in them yet. So let's go back and look at how that felt. So how it was supposed to work out is somebody said the same things and did the same thing. Shake your hand and said, good morning, glad to see you. But one time they were cold and there was something there, right, that should have been there. And then the other one was the opposite. They're excited. How did that feel? Felt like in heaven. Boy, that last one, hugging, high five, and it was great to see. And that's what life should be like, you know? But the point I'm trying to make is nonverbals have a lot to do with how we come across to people, okay? And once again, I apologize to the shy people or the new people. You're like, why did you do that to me? But it was to prove a point. Some studies say like 70% of communication is nonverbal. It's not what you say. It's how you say it. It's your tone of voice. It's your physical mannerisms. And we need to be self-aware of how we come across with people. And I think Jesus was self-aware. Now, we can't hear the words of Jesus. We can't see it visually. But by the reaction of those two guys, I think it was pretty positive. Because Jesus was approachable. How do we know that? In verse 38, he turned to him and said, what do you want? Right? Now, look at There's three different ways that you can say, what do you want? Here's the first one. Pretend, if I was a Christ, I'm walking and you come behind me. What do you want? Ooh, you ever got one of those? Yeah, but what does that say? Hey, get away from me. Or how's this one sound? You walk in, you ask them a question. What do you want? Was that loaded? That carries connotations too, right? So much of our communication is nonverbal. It's good for us to be self-aware. If you ever really want to get really good, have yourself filmed. As in my training to be a counselor, we had to have every session videotaped, and then we would replay them for our group to watch. And to have eight people looking all your nonverbals and calling you out, why did you do this? Why did you say that? It's really good to help you be more self-aware. But the last one, you're asking somebody a question. What do you want? Do you see how one is inviting and the other ones are cutting you off? How do you communicate with people around you? Your spouse, your children, people at work? Jesus was approachable, and it was pretty self-evident through the stories of him. My favorite is Matthew 19. Story of Jesus and the children. And we know the story, the kids wanted to come up to Jesus and see Jesus, and his followers were like, get away, kids. And Jesus said, no, let the little ones come to me. And the kids came, didn't they? They came to him. Have you ever seen with your own children, there are some people that they'll gravitate to and they'll go up to, and some that they don't want anything to do with? You know, why is that? Is it how they appear, how they act? Are they loud or are they soft? We all project a certain image. And what type of images are you trying to project? I'm so grateful that Jesus was approachable. Because when you're approachable, you create an environment for teaching. Jesus wanted to find those 12 followers and invest in their life, and because he knew that they were going to be the church. And so he was approachable to them. And this is just a good thing for all of us. If you want to impact anyone's life, be approachable. Be approachable. When I was a young soldier, I just got through basic training, got to my unit, and my first deployment was to Coronado, San Diego. Has anyone ever been there? Oh, beautiful place, the ocean. It was my first time ever seeing the ocean. I was 18 years old. So we got there, and we were going to do training on ships. We had to go out on ships, and they would hit the beach, you know, like you saw in World War II. So out on the horizon was a ship. It was called LST. It means landing ship tank. For those who serve on them, they say it's called a large stationary target. And it was out there, and me and the guys I was with, we were arguing with how far it was, because it's hard to tell how far things are away, especially at sea. And because I heard on land, it's a little bit easier than at sea. And so we were arguing, and is it a mile, is it 2 miles? So I turned to our squad leader, Sergeant Dingus. Sergeant Dingus was a big burly guy, kind of a sourpuss face, you know. And I'm like, well, I'm going to go ask Sergeant Dingus, see if he can answer questions. So I went over, hey, Sergeant, we're having this talk over here. We don't know how far that thing is. And how far do you think it is so we can tell who's right? His response was, Crossfield, why are you asking stupid questions? Get down and beat your face. In the Army, that means go do push-ups, right? So I was, and I was on this in the sand doing push-ups as we're waiting for this landing craft to come pick us up. And I was like, oh my gosh, what did I do wrong? Do you think I was apt to go ever ask this guy for advice or questions? No. Why? Because he bit my head off. My first squad leader had a chance to really impact me, and he didn't get to because he shooed me away. So I never would ask him questions. I'd let someone else. What kind of person are you when someone comes up and asks you even an innocent question, whether it's your kids or a friend or a coworker? Are you there to respond, or are you there to push them away? We're called to be approachable because Jesus was approachable. Do you ever approach God? There's some of you who might not feel like you can approach God because God's distant, God's far. But the beauty of Jesus is he was always there. He was there for everybody. Had time to stop and talk and engage with everybody. And he's that way to this day. Even though he's died, he went to heaven. And we have access to the King. So don't let that stop you. Know that your God, our God, the God of the heavens and the earth, not the God of all the other faiths. There's a difference between gods of when people talk about the God of the Bible is a loving, approachable God. Take him up on that. He'll be there for you. So the second thing in the story I saw was Jesus being an example. So we're called to be an example. Where do we see this? In verse 39. After they said, Rabbi, which means teacher, where are you staying? And Jesus replied, I'm in a Motel 6, but don't come over because I don't want to be bothered. Okay, he didn't say that. He said, come and you will see. Isn't that inviting? Wow. Have you ever met somebody who is that open to you and that receiving, that wants a relationship with you? See, because Jesus knew a long time ago that most things are caught and not taught. You hear that over and over again, but really think about that. Here I am preaching, teaching, and you're going to remember some of it. If you write stuff down in your sermon notes, you'll remember a little bit more, but this stuff kind of fades out after a time. But when you're around someone, when you're with someone, then you can really see their actions, and that's where it sinks in. That's why it's so important for us as parents to try to be a godly witness, even though we fall short sometimes. But most things are caught and not taught. So how are we an example? We have to be around folks. We don't have our fall classes coming up until September. In September, we'll have the meals starting up again at 5:30. Aren't those awesome meals? Amen? Yeah, 5:30. We're starting early this year in September. And then the classes are going to start. I'm going to be doing a financial piece again. My wife is going to be doing a class. There's other classes that are going to be offered. Until then, for the next 3 weeks, if you come to church on Wednesday night, the men's group is going to continue to meet, and the women's a brokenness group, healing through a brokenness, will be meeting. But you can come and you can fellowship. Or on Sunday mornings at 9:30, we have small groups downstairs. Come and fellowship. Get to know each other. That's where real learning happens. That's where real growing happens, when you're able to be around people who can be an example. So youth camp is heading out next week, Monday morning. So be praying for that. But man camp is coming up in 3 weeks, 22nd, I guess. So I just wanted to do a promo for man camp for those of you who haven't had to see what's involved there. And that's a great chance just to be around people. There's not a lot of a curriculum or classes, but we just hang with each other and we go fishing, we go hiking, sit around, play music. It's just a wonderful time. But it's a chance for us to be an example for each other. So here's a couple pictures. So if any of you ever accused Joe of being a tree hugger, there's proof. So look at that old growth. Isn't that great? That's up in Packwood Lake. And there's a bridge there. Now, even though these guys are leading by example, you don't have to follow by example. You don't have to jump off the bridge if you don't want. We can see some of the beautiful scenery. It's funny, I put these slides up and I'm realizing, oh my gosh, I'm talking about being an example, and here's Marlo standing in a boat without a life jacket. Folks, that's not the best example for safety. But Marlo's so tall, he could probably stand in that water. So, but there's Mike, he's got his vest on, he's being a good boy. We do have vests in there. But you can see our campsite, got some old growth there. It's just beautiful. But it's a chance for us to get to know each other and hike with each other and really grow. As scripture says, iron sharpening iron. Very powerful thing. There's a couple other scenes. Sitting on the campfire, Dave Griffiths does an excellent job. He's an example as a great chef. If you want to learn how to cook, come to Man Camp and watch Dave. He can impart his wisdom to you. And just for comfort, some of you are like, go in the bathroom, I don't know. That lower right one, Greg Webster went out of his way to make this little portable toilet deal. And it's not 4-star accommodation, but it's at least 2-star. So we go out of our way to try to make this workable. And some folks that have trouble walking, they can't walk in, we can bring in with ATVs, and we have foldable boats to take us across the lake. And we go hiking. And we go hiking, you can see some shots there. Just a great time. And if you want to walk, fine. If you don't, fine. If you want to read a book, you can do that. If you want to take a nap, you can do that. It's really not structured a whole lot. We just have talks about faith and our own walk after the meal. But that's what Man Camp's all about. If you have any questions, get with me, and I can answer your questions. But just a wonderful opportunity to grow in faith, to have someone around you to be an example. So, who's an example in your life? You know, there's examples for the better and there's examples for the worse, isn't it? Yeah, I've shared in other sermons. I had a guy that impacted me. I was like 16, and he had a lot of positive things that he was an example for, but he had some negative things that he was an example for. You know, to the point of when he died, I remember praying, asking God to God, deep down, I saw the good side of him. Please take him into heaven. You know. But my prayers don't impact that much. It's really between that man and God is whether he went to heaven or not, you know? And really for all of us, are you connected with Jesus to know if God was to call you? Not if you were good enough and you were high enough on the bar to get in. It's not like that. Have you died to self and asked Jesus to forgive your sins and come into your life? That's what salvation is all about. And and speaking of that, one of my first mentors as a young man was a guy named Jimmy Petty. He was a pastor up at Lacey, and he was approachable. I could talk to him. And then he was an example. He invited me into his house to have a meal. He took me with him running errands, doing things, doing work projects. And I got to spend all this time with him, and I grew to know this man. And he showed me how a Christian man lives. And I was like, wow. And he impacted my life so much. We're still dear friends to this day. He was in some of those pictures, and he's coming back from Man Camp. And one thing to know about Jimmy is he's as good of a harmonica player as Joe is a banjo player. Pretty good. And in 2 Sundays, Britton, it's going to be his farewell Sunday. He's going to be sharing because he's going to be going off to school at George Fox. I know it's sad. We're going to. He's still going to help out the church from afar, but it's last Sunday, but hope to get Jimmy and Joe to do some music for you during worship, or at the end of worship, because I tell you what, those two guys going, it's awesome. And during Man Camp, they go nonstop. It's so cool. But Jimmy, this guy loved me, and he said, come and see. And I joined with him, and he became such an influential part of my life and still is. Serving in the military, I was in the infantry. And anyone know what the motto for the infantry is? Didn't give it. I knew Dale was going to get that real quick. Follow me. And it's the statue of Follow Me has a guy holding a gun and he's pointing, he's waving. And for our armed forces, that is the motto, that our leaders are supposed to lead by example. Lead by example. That's just, how many of you want to go into hardship when you know your leaders aren't there with you? Anyone want to do that? And this really comes to play in wartime. During war, when someone's telling you to risk your life, show me that you care and before I risk my life. But one great thing about our armed forces is we have this instilled in us that leaders need to experience the hardship and be accountable. Now, it always doesn't work that way, but it's supposed to. And be thankful to God for that, because if our armed forces ever loses that, leading by example, it's over, folks. We will, the strength of our armed forces will just erode. Why? Because everyone's for themselves. The leaders don't care. Why should I care? You see how that works? It's really important to have those cultural understandings about leadership. So a great illustration came to me this week. Some of you know Coy from church, right? Coy was at work, and somebody came in to her work, and they were upset, distraught, and Coy didn't know what to do. She gave me permission to say this, by the way, to tell the story. But she said, let me pray with you. And the person said, okay. And so they prayed, and the person just calmed down. Isn't that beautiful? Coy was a spiritual leader in that situation, and all she did was offer a prayer. So when you think of yourself as, I can't be a leader, sometimes that's all it takes. Now, sometimes in your works, you have to be careful about that, because places have rules about praying, and you have to be careful when and how you do that. But I'm telling you, when there's a crisis going on, almost everybody will accept prayer, even atheists. In the Army as a chaplain, almost every crisis I came into, I'd say, can I pray with you? And yes, chaplain. And we would pray, because nothing calms the nerves more than to pray, to go to the living God and ask for help when we're in crisis. So you can do that. All you have to do is take someone's hands and just pray with them. And it doesn't have to be perfect. You can be a spiritual leader like Coy. There's other examples, too, of how you can be an example. One was shared with me recently of a youth who was taken out with a group of guys and hiking and stuff. And then he asked the person, he goes, hey, can you take me fishing? And it was the person's day off. When you have a day off, you usually have that pretty full. We usually do. And this person, when they found out it was a day off, they said, you know what, I'll take you fishing. Being an example, isn't that wonderful? Taking time to be with folks that ask for help, that want to learn, want to grow. We can all do it. You can all do it. If you don't know how, get with us, and we'll help you find your place here in our church where you can serve. The picnic was a great example. We had people helping out at the dock. We had people helping with the cooking. People serving, man, it was beautiful. Made my job so much easier and made the food so much better. Because if I had to do the food, you'd probably wouldn't come back the next picnic. So be an example. When you lead by example, you instill not only knowledge, but loyalty and respect. You instill not only knowledge, but loyalty and respect. And that's why it's so important to be leading by example. I talked to someone after one of the early services, and they're talking about training youth at the school, and they're saying, a lot of times, if you're in a role at school, there's no real power. What power do you have as leading this or that? But when you lead by example, you say, okay, here's what we got to do. Come on, guys. You lead by example, you become a leader. So we're all able to do this. It's just, are we willing? Because that's what Jesus did. He was approachable, and he led by example. The last thing that we see Jesus doing in our story is to be an encourager. How many of you like to be encouraged? Anybody? Yeah. Have you ever seen someone, when they're discouraged, almost has a physical response? The shoulders come down, they're kind of mopey, and then what happens when you encourage them? It's like filling them up with air. Encouraging words are so powerful, and a lot of times people are hurting a lot more than we realize it, because a lot of times we don't want to show our hurts. We don't want to show our pains. Verse 42, Jesus came to Peter and he said, Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which when translated is Peter. And just so you can understand that, Cephas is the Aramaic term and Peter is the Greek term. And Pastor Joe has been preaching on that whole idea of Peter being the rock. That's what the word means. And he's been preaching on being stable, stable in your faith. This ties into that. This is being a stable leader. A stable leader is a Christ-like leader. It's a servant leader. It really works. So how did Peter respond? He hardly knows Jesus, and Jesus calls him a rock. Wow. Really? That's amazing. This guy sees something in me. Has any one of you ever had somebody see something in you and point it out and encourage it? It's really powerful. A lot of the people that are down and out in our society, homeless, people on drugs, a lot of them maybe never had anyone encourage them or support them or see something positive in their life. And they're just downbeaten and downtrodden, and they need an encourager. I saw this whole idea of encouragement play out in my life when I was a young soldier. Sorry for all the military illustrations. I spent 30 years in the military, so that was a lot of my life. But once again, I was a young soldier, got out of a basic training, AIT, and I came out here to Fort Lewis, and I was going to try to be a ranger, and you have to go through a thing called Ranger Assessment Program. And along the way, people would call me a lot of colorful names, right? And a lot of them very detrimental. It wasn't a lot of positive things in the military back then. I think we've changed a little bit. So I came in and was there for training to get into the Rangers. And the first time, guess what they called me? They looked at me and they said, "Ranger Crossfield." I'm like, in my mind, I'm thinking, whoa, I'm not a ranger. I'm just a lost 18-year-old trying to figure this out. And I couldn't figure out why they gave me that title. And I've came to realize that when you hold up a standard for somebody, it gives them an opportunity to rise up to it. So when you tell somebody, when you beat them down, they did something wrong and you beat them down, you can say, "No, here's a standard and you can do it. I know you can do it." It was a way to encourage us that we could actually do it if we tried. Anyway, I took that as a positive thing, and instead of being beat down, I'm like, "Wow, I'll try to act like that." So before I became one, I was acting like one. That's the standard that they had for me, and by God's grace and mercy, I was able to get into that group and serve there. And in God's plan, 15 years later, go back as a chaplain. So encouraging is so important. Now, when we encourage, we also have to know that there's a balance there. When Jesus was dealing with Peter, he called him a rock. "You will be a rock." Wow. But there's times when Peter wasn't a rock. One time, Peter actually was a knucklehead working out of his flesh, and Jesus turned to him in Matthew 16 and said, "Get behind me, Satan." So when Jesus calls you Satan, that's a bad day. So Jesus had a way to encourage, but also convict, right? And the Holy Spirit does that. When you feel that in your life, when you're down and you ask for prayer and you feel that welling up inside of you, that's the Holy Spirit encouraging you. But when you're doing something wrong and you feel that conviction, you're acting more like Satan than God. Listen to that. That's the Holy Spirit trying to keep you on azimuth, on track. You have to listen. But when you're an encourager like Jesus, you instill hope. How many of you need hope today? Anybody? Man, I need hope. Because life can get hard. Physically, physical ailments that happen throughout life. Issues with your spouse, issues with your family, hardships. When we need hope, Holy Spirit is our encourager. And he'll do that if you ask, but you need to be walking with him. You need to have the Holy Spirit inside your heart, and you can only do that by asking him. A lot of times people, they go to church and they just want to keep God on the peripheral. But man, Jesus says, "Come to me and die to yourself. Accept me as your Savior and Lord, and I'll come in and I'll be your encourager. I'll give you hope. I'll be an example that you can follow." Pretty beautiful picture, isn't it? But this is just the start of these guys' journey, and this is how Jesus came across. He was approachable, he was an example, and he was an encourager. My question for you this morning is how are you doing in this area? How are you doing with the leadership that God's given you, whether you're a youth, young adult, older, or even children, right? Sometimes children, you're over the other little other kids were called to be leaders. If God has been speaking to you, this is an opportunity to capture that and put it down. These are your prayer cards on the back of your chairs. And they got the next steps as well. And we really want to hear from you. If God has spoken to your heart this morning and you want prayer, check one of these boxes and we'll pray for you. Or if you have any comments or questions or concerns, you can write them as well. And we read them and pray over them and we'll get back with you. But here's some next steps that maybe God was saying to you this morning. Perhaps it's this. Jesus, forgive me for not being the leader you want me to be. If we're honest, we all fall in this category, don't we? And when we fail as leaders, when we're like a mama duck and we have a tough situation around us, ask for forgiveness. Ask for forgiveness from God and ask forgiveness from your family or others around you, your coworkers. Ask for forgiveness. People are pretty forgiving if you'll humble yourself. But that's the best way to get right and move forward. If you're beat down as a parent, forgive, ask God for forgiveness, and tomorrow's a new day. Be the parent that God wants you to be. Jesus, help me be more approachable, like a teddy bear instead of a porcupine. My daughter let me use this morning. Cute little guy, isn't it? Cute little guy. Is he approachable? When police or firemen go to a crisis, a bad accident, what do they usually do with children that are crying? They carry little teddy bears. Isn't that neat? And they give them to them. A kid can wrap their arms around them. But some of you are more like a porcupine. You got quills. And they're out all the time. And someone wants to get close, and you won't let them get close, or even stab them. Jesus doesn't want us to be like that. Called to be more of a teddy bear. More approachable. Or perhaps Jesus is saying, or God's saying in your heart, empower me to be a Christ-like example in word and deed. This is tough. And this is tough. And guys and ladies, you can't do this on your own. Don't even try. You're going to fail miserably. Each and every morning I start out, this is part of my prayer. Help me to be the man of God you want me to be, the husband that you want me to be, the father, the pastor, the butcher, the baker, the candlestick maker, whatever you got going on. Ask God for help. And then that supernatural power can come into your life and help you rise above the flesh. Or Jesus, inspire me to be an encourager to everyone around me. Everyone. Can you encourage everyone? Even that nasty person at work who's always talking behind your back? You can be an encourager when they're doing something positive or doing something healthy. Point it out. As a guy, one of the things I struggle with and having served in the armed forces, when I see something, do you think I look for the positive or do I look for the negative? Look for the negative. I see, you know, someone's done a project, I can point out everything that's wrong. And then what does that do to the person that did the work? Oh, man, really? You're going to beat me up already? Be an encourager. Find the positive things that they did and build them up. Lift them up. And then you can point out the things that can be tweaked later. It's a real subtlety, but boy, it makes all the difference in the world. It's dealing with people with grace and mercy, and Jesus did it.